Junkies NFT Talk, turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, that's my show.
Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
Hello everyone and welcome to Crypto Junkies Podcast. Today is January 23rd, the day of recording on a Sunday towards the end of the week. Pretty much gives us time to gather our thoughts on the space for that week. And we have some cool information and just some friendly talk between us about what's going on. I'm going to go. My name is Raul Garcia. My goal is Ragnar4 in this space. I'm going to go ahead and hand off to my partners to introduce themselves.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alexis Morales, a.k.a. Havoc. Thank you for joining our podcast. This is episode number 2. We have a bunch of things that we want to talk about. Thank you for joining.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is ThunderMonkey.eth. I go by the name Daniel Toledo.
So you wanted to talk about Vivi, the platform, right? Or marketplace? What is Vivi?
Yeah, so Vivi basically, I think I spoke about it before. So they were able to obtain licenses through like Marvel and like Mattel, stuff like that. I don't know who else.
Destiny, right?
Yeah. So like future, like Yu-Gi-Oh. One of the biggest ones everyone's hoping for right now is Pokemon. And I think Pokemon is number one throughout the whole world for just sales in general.
Yeah, merchandise.
Like market value. Like Pokemon is the very top of anything. So if Pokemon were ever to hit Vivi, it's game over for the platform itself. I mean, they're going to hit all-time highs on Vivi for that. But so basically the way Vivi works is you're able to use your Apple Pay to obtain gems. Gems is the currency that Vivi uses in their marketplace. So let's say I want to buy a comic book in Vivi. I add gems and it's seamless. All you have to do is if you already have Apple Pay linked to your device, I'm not 100% on how Android works. I would think that Android has something of like a Google
Android Pay or something.
Android Pay on there. So like, I'm pretty sure you just link them together seamlessly and just purchase your gems. So the way it'll work is I want to buy something for 100 gems. I put $100 in, I purchase what I want and it's done.
Well, and that's the crazy part, that it's so simple, right? Like when you go into OpenSea or all these other platforms, right? You have to convert money into ETH or into Bitcoin and you got to do all that stuff. But the great thing about gems is one-to-one for each US dollar is one gem. And that's so simple. And it allows for the masses to finally join the crypto NFT digital space just because it's so easy.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking about the adoption of Web3 and where Vivi did a very good job. And it wasn't even that they were trying to do a good job. Maybe it just happened that it was a good decision, which is the buying with the credit card, right? Because like you said, most people are not willing to do the extra work that it takes to be involved in the NFT space.
Exactly.
Which goes back to our question of Vivi, like, is it an actual NFT since it's pretty much captive, right? Like you can't move that NFT to any other platform. If Vivi were to shut down, if they were to get hacked, if anything were to be compromised, you're SOL.
Right.
Vivi right now has the ability to ban your account.
Yeah, true.
And you lose
access. There's a lot of controversy right now with that, right?
Yeah. So if we're truly talking NFTs, like Vivi, I would more put it on the line of it's a digital asset, more so than an NFT that's, you know, on the blockchain that is decentralized.
Yeah. So Vivi is definitely probably the in-between thing, right? So they're decentralized, but they're also centralized, where Vivi controls their app, but their assets are on the blockchain of Ethereum.
Right. So, they just minted, right?
Yeah.
They weren't before, though.
Level 2.
Yeah. I think you missed that. You had just walked out. But so they're in between on that. We don't know what's going to happen yet. If Vivi shuts down, our assets are already on Ethereum. Will we be able to still claim our assets?
I would think so.
Right?
Why wouldn't it?
Considering that it's on Ethereum. But so yeah, Vivi's cool, man. So the way Vivi works is pretty much every week they have 2 to 3 drops. They do comic books, they do digital collectibles, and like the list is extensive. They go into Batman and DC Direct, stuff like that. They have a large amount of collectibles on there.
I mean, if you think about it, man, what how amazing it is for them to acquire the IP and the licenses for Disney, for Marvel, for DC, and hopefully for Pokemon. I don't think most companies or corporations could say something like that, that they could work in conjunction with Disney, probably one of the biggest, no, the biggest media conglomerate in the world. I guess that makes me pretty bullish on V. Yeah.
So my experience, VV, I've put in probably $2,000 myself into VV throughout, you know, just flipping and just acquiring the correct collectibles I was able to get to, like, so I'm probably sitting at around 15,000 gems and assets right now. Not liquid, because so VV right now doesn't currently have their money transfer license, but they're working on that right now. They're trying to get the money transfer license for you to be able to cash out all your gems into a currency, which it's in the works for them. I think quarter two is when they said to expect that to happen. I don't know if you guys have had the same experiences, you know, as far as, well, I know Raul, you've got some pretty good drops on BB, right?
Yeah. I mean, BB's been great. Pretty much this whole space is pretty crazy where you really have to go in with your time and your research into one specific part of the whole NFT space that's being built around here. But with VB, I did actually get, we started, I think it was in August.
August, yeah.
When we started buying on VB, then it was, I think it was a Spider-Man drop. It was one where you were able to choose the secret rare if you wanted to go for that one. Yeah. That one was $400 as an entry to buy in. And
secret rare is the highest tier of that collectible,
and,
right?
And it's not just any Spider-Man drop. So you guys got to consider, this is the very first Spider-Man drop in NFT history.
Yeah, in the whole space, and right? The whole industry.
In the whole space, this is the very first Spider-Man drop.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, it's secret rare, rare?
Ultra rare.
Ultra rare, rare, uncommon, common.
And wood. No, I'm kidding. That's a league reference.
So for you broke people, you know. Common's for you, bro.
But how did that work out for you, man? Yeah. How is that Spider-Man secret rare drop working out for you right now?
Yeah, no, it's doing good. It's like 400. I bought it for 400. I got lucky. I was driving, actually, and I got lucky and I was able to purchase it. And I remember that after like maybe a month, it was still within like a thousand something. And then as the months came by, people kept accumulating. They kept sharing the vision of, you know, this is the first Spider-Man NFT. And now it's gone on a run where the floor price is 85,000 since August. So August, I don't know, like 5-6 months.
What do you think that's the case? I mean, how could something that was originally bought for 400 could all of a sudden go to $80,000, $90,000, $100,000?
Right. And it's 85,000 right now, but it reached the 100,000.
Amazing.
You know, the price range of 100,000.
Where does something like a Bored Ape, a Yacht Club, or a CryptoPunk? Where
they were at 354, but now since the crash, go ahead and half that. So right. 175.
So you're telling me that the Veeve platform, one of their biggest collectibles, is on par with something like a CryptoPunk?
Right around there, yes. Wow. And some of their collectibles are actually worth more than 100,000. Very few.
Yeah, and I feel like, so VV doesn't really it doesn't work with the crypto market. You know, it doesn't correlate with the stock market, the crypto market, from what we've seen right now.
It doesn't.
They don't, if crypto crashes, I haven't seen in this past few days, I haven't really seen VV collectibles dropping because of the crypto market.
So what VV collectibles do, like they pump, right? But we just went through a pump like a week and a half ago on VV where everything to ridiculous prices, everything went up 50% in a day. And we did see a correction though, you know, probably 20 to 30% down.
Yeah.
But nothing crazy like what was happening in the crypto market.
So wait, just to clarify, do you still have your secret rare Spider-Man?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have. Yeah.
And it was at 100,000 and now it's around 85,000.
85.
So you lost about 15,000 in unrealized gains in that transaction.
Yes.
Does that not make you feel a certain type of way?
No, not at all.
Bullish all the way?
Yeah. I mean, I'm holding, I don't know when to sell, like, because obviously from 400 to 80,000 or 90, that's a huge win. That's a big win.
Yeah.
I am invested. I'm diversified to a point. Like, I'm not extremely diversified, but I am diversified where I have plays that I'm making on OpenSea. I've already profited quite a bit, so I'm not scared of holding it just because what could happen in the future? It could crash, but at the same time, it's only been a couple of months or several months, but not even a year, and the price is astronomical. But it's, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with me just because like
a lot.
A lot, I guess. I invested, I think, 15,000 or 20.
The BB?
In BB, oh, yeah. Wow. 15 or 20 was what I invested, and it's probably worth 10 to 15x right now.
Nice. Congrats. 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats, so, dude.
What's your secret? How do you keep winning on Open Seas and Vive? And
I'm just early. I'm early. So when you're early, your chance of success is a lot higher. When you take advantage of your success being higher because of your early and you do the work, then your success rate becomes mostly your hitting rather than missing. So I've just been in the space for a while now where the calls that I do go into, they make sense to me and I can kind of see where it's going. Like I'm on Twitter, and just because I'm on there so much and I'm gathering information, I'm actually following market trends without knowing that I'm following market trends.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you're in the space. So yeah. Like women empowerment, it's big and you're like, you're in it. And
okay.
So that's what it's been like. And also I keep telling everyone that I run into either at work when I'm selling mattresses or whoever I meet that cares to lend an ear, like you definitely need a group to support you, a group that is invested because it's going to help you get information. You'll share information, you'll help them. You help each other grow. And I've also gotten plays from the group. So I give plays, but I also get plays from the group. You need people there to warn you, you know, like before, like we were talking about the ETH crash, Thunder and Alex warned me that it wasn't looking all that great and I sold, and now I'm sitting pretty and able to buy back in and even more. If I sold 9 ETH, I didn't liquidate everything, but I sold 9 ETH. And if I were to buy back right now, I could buy like 13 ETH. So it's just like, there's the arbitrage, you know, in the space when you start becoming an investor, a collector, a trader, these are the type of things that you do.
Congrats on you selling before the crash. One thing I did want to say about Vive, and you know, going back to what you were saying in terms of buying early, you bought Spider-Man at $400. Was that aftermarket or was that like you minted the ultra rare at $400?
Oh, that's crazy. I never thought about it. I minted Spider-Man.
You minted Spider-Man. Wow. Yeah. But even on the secondary market, when it first started, I mean, it wasn't that high. It wasn't even close to that high. Well, what was it, like 1,000 maybe?
1,002, 1,004. Like,
yeah.
It's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap now, right? But hindsight 2020, at that moment in that time, I would not invest 1.2K on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But hindsight 2020, kind of how Thunder was saying, yeah, that it is the first official digital collectible, mm-hmm, that Spider-Man was introduced to the space.
Yeah.
That's huge. It's so huge that you know it has to go to $85,000, $100,000, but scared money doesn't make money. And so we lost out on that situation. You won on that situation.
Fortunately, and also what I would say though, you know, because we have quite a few people who are into trading, investing in collectibles. That's mostly what we talk about here. But you just want to continue to get better with the moves that you are making and analyzing the market the right way. So you have to analyze what's the best way to say it? I guess as far as like the culture, like the game culture, you have to really bring that into account. And that's kind of funny because traditional investing, it's all about numbers and how much volume and market cap. And market cap still plays a role in this type of investing, but it's kind of like black and white, you know, in traditional, right, investing. But what I really enjoy about investing in the NFTs and in this space is that it's game culture. And if you're like a collector, like you can kind of tell what's rare or like, yeah, what would someone else buy or like subjectively what's cool.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And if you're good at that type of stuff, it makes it fun. And you're able to. So I would say like game culture has to be in your mindset about on how you're thinking about the space or an investment, along with like the supply and the demand and the market cap. So it's kind of now, instead of just those tools that you usually look at, you're adding the game culture onto there and what looks cool.
Yeah, so VB does this thing too, you guys, just so you know, that Spider-Man SR, there's only a thousand of them?
Yes.
So there's only 1,000 of them. So they limit the supply on the actual drops themselves. So if you get a secret rare, they differentiate between every drop. But you know, you're looking between 600 to 1,000 for the older drops. You know, there were definitely higher numbers, but now Vivi has a few million users on their app. You know, think about a few million users trying to land an SR drop. That's only 1,000, only 600 of them. There's only a small percentage of people actually getting that.
So I just did the math, right? You said that there's 1,000 secret rares for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And at the peak, it was at $100,000 per secret rare.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that's $100 million.
The market cap for that Spider-Man.
$100 million. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it is insane. And also, like, what's even more insane is that it's been able to maintain a price like that. And when it got, when Spider-Man got to 25K, 29K, then it reached, and it got to like 30 something thousand, people were like, oh, wow, this is crazy. This is an absurd price. This is going to crash.
Yeah.
But there's been sales from 20 something thousand all the way up to like confirmed sales of like $79, $80,000. I haven't checked again to see if there's any sales that happen at 100,000. I did see a picture that was floating around that showed that someone sold a Spider-Man for 100,000, but I haven't confirmed that it's true or not. People have bought Spider-Man from 20,000 all the way up to 80,000 confirmed.
Well, you know, it just goes to show that Viv hit it on the money. They were able to introduce a crypto NFT platform for the masses, yes, not just for the individuals who are willing to put in that extra work,
right,
of opening MetaMask and then buying, you know, ETH and then which converting exchange? That.
Do I do crypto, Coinbase?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Viv just hit it on the money. It's super easy, kind of how you said.
Yeah.
Apple Pay, put a credit card, Android Pay, just buy one for one and then go ahead and buy a collectible. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's talk about some of the downsides, because we talked about, because we're all invested in Vivi. We want it to do well. Let's talk about some of its downsides. What's not so good? We don't have to harp on it too much, but just a little bit. Yeah. So
a big thing for me I've noticed is, so they've only been around for probably a year and a few months, Vivi. A lot of stuff that has upset a lot of people is the app itself. It can be laggy at times. You run into issues where you try to land a drop. They'll have issues where you try to sell something on the market, but you're not able to. For some reason, they just have a few bugs that have prevented people from landing a bag on BB for now.
So there's three things that come to mind. One, there's currently rampant bots that are buying everything.
Yeah.
Two, the inability to cash out.
Right.
Yep.
And three, I forgot three, but let's talk about one and two. Bots. What's going on?
Yeah, I am a person who is used to like playing MMORPGs and, you know,
RuneScape.
Yeah, RuneScape. That's my in my heart. RuneScape taught me a lot about how to interact in the NFT space, because RuneScape, in essence, was its own world. You know, kind of how Ethereum is a platform and things are being minted, created upon it. Same thing with RuneScape. We saw it evolve into what it is now. There were a bunch of bots in RuneScape as well who were like, you know, either chopping wood, and they would make it harder for real players to chop that wood because, you know, if you're both going at one resource,
right,
obviously it's going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to get as much as that exactly. resource. And then they deploy all these bots to make money, essentially. That's what they do.
Right.
So I'm used to it, and I'm also used to the company or whatever the case is, like banning those bots or doing something so that it helps the community. But that's where it kind of gets tricky because of the whole decentralization. And, you know, because you want them to be banned because you want more people to have a shot. But at the same time, it's kind of absurd to think that you will have a shot, or that you are like, oh yeah, I deserve this shot.
Yeah, right.
Because there's millions of people, regardless of the bots.
Wow.
No one is no one's gonna get one. So, but you're so early that you can still buy aftermarket on the right ones,
right,
and still profit long term.
So, man, really good take. And it makes me think, because they did that extra work to create a bot, do they deserve to win?
Yeah.
If we're working in a decentralized market where it's the wild, wild west, should they?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so. It kind of sucks to say, but VB has said themselves, there's not that much of a large amount of bots out there. Probably, I don't know, I'd say like 10% people out there are botting, you know, out of the 90%, which includes millions of people out there on VB. It does get to the point where it's upsetting. Every now and then you're losing your drops. When you land your drop, you're like, oh yeah, I'm good. You know, when you don't land your drop, you're like, oh man, these fucking bots are out there getting our shit.
Yeah.
These bots are taking our jobs.
Yeah. But you know, in this just the tech space in general, with anything having to do with tech, you know, video games, crypto, whatnot, you're going to have bots. I don't think there's any defeating that.
Yeah.
There's probably ways to implement probably a security standard to
stop cheat systems.
Yeah, to stop them. But at the end of the day, they're putting in the work. It's a decentralized network, and we're probably going to come across them from days to come. So
right. But it's really interesting. Like, do we deserve, or are we entitled to the opportunity to win, or because they put in that work?
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, they win. They do win.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Now, I'm not saying that we're for bots. No, we're not bots. No.
I would never use a bot.
I would never use a bot either. Yeah. Right. Unless you own an Android phone. I have iPhone. So, okay. No, I'm kidding. No, we're not advocating for bots. But you're not going to get in every single drop. And I think it's kind of luck of the draw. There's been weeks where I don't get a single damn drop.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I grab a drop and I freaking get a secret rare. It's all luck. And for the most part, like, people want to get in because if you get in, you make money.
Today they had a Batman drop. It was a Batman and Killer Croc battle statue for DC Direct. And I landed it for 120 gems.
Nice, bro.
120 gems.
You fucking bought it. I didn't get it. Did you?
So I
confiscate his phone right now, bro.
So I got addition $17.99, and I let the market settle for a little bit, let it pump a little bit, flipped it for 2,400 gems out of a $120 purchase. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I was describing the three cons against Veev, I've remembered number three. Veev is currently banning individuals who are not botting.
I know why. There's a lot
of controversy there.
So this is what's happening. So people, and this is why you have to do your homework. A lot of people invest without doing their homework. So what that means is, out of those millions of people who invested in Veev, a good percentage went in without researching everything about Veev and what they do. When they were buying gems, they didn't realize that there's no way to cash out.
Right? Yeah. Right. That's the second problem, yes. But go on.
There's no way to cash out. So where that now is, like, they just got a taste of VV and like, oh damn, I invested $7. I got lucky. I sold a secret comic for $2,000 that same day. Right. Like, who the hell? Right. So now they're like, okay, I have all this money. I want to cash out. And VV is like, we can't let you cash out, whatever the case may be. You're not cashing out. Okay. So pretty much what I'm trying to say is, like, VV is like, we don't have a form of you to cash out. So these people, they go to like Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Telegram.
They go to Telegram. They go to, not Facebook Marketplace. They go to Facebook groups, and they have their people, whales for the most part. Whales are people who have a lot of money. Whales who would rather pay a 0.6 to 0.5.
Correct.
Pretty much getting 40 to 50% off from people who want money instead of them paying a dollar.
Exactly.
So this is where now we've uncovered a whole another thing, because
black market essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Because they're paying 50 cents to 60 cents on the dollar for their stuff. And so that's why, like, they're getting banned, because VV finds out that they've been transacting elsewhere or other ways.
Is that why people are getting banned right now?
And they ban them. Those are the people like, I never bought it. Yeah, you never bought it, but they caught your ass transacting.
Ooh.
And that's against the
terms
rules. It's against the terms, which is why people are like, is that shit an NFT? You know, it's not decentralized. You guys are, you guys are fake, you know, whatever the case may be.
Gotcha.
Because that's happening to them. Now, us talking about this, now there's another issue to talk about. Whales are buying at 50 to 60%.
Right.
That means we already know they pumped the market. That means now they get collectibles at 50 to 60% off, and they're going to pump the shit out of partner statues because instead of it costing them $24,000, it only actually cost them $12,000 per statue. So they buy a bunch, they pump the market, everyone's right. Like, oh shit, it's selling, let's buy, buy, buy. Then they get your ass and they sell it to you, and then So that's how whales are like making even more money.
Yeah. So I mean, that's another thing. Like, you think about, let's, you know, go back to the Spider-Man. There's only 1,000. Think about if somebody out there owns 500 of those Spider-Mans, and they pretty much control half the value of that market. They're holding 500 Spider-Mans. Somebody else, you know, random people, they're probably holding 2 or 3 Spider-Mans, mm-hmm. and they control the value of that market. And I think that's what helps the lower quantity drops contain that the price that they're at right now, right? There, it's, you know, you said what, Spider-Man's at $85,000.
Yeah,
it helps it, you know, stay in balance compared to other drops that are like 10,000 drops or 8,888. You have that many people out there controlling the market, and when people want a paper hand, you'll see the value drop real quick because people are just trying to get out, trying to make their money on it.
Good take, Ben. So once again, 3 big problems: 1, bonding. 2, apparently it was false positives being banned, but you described it really well that it wasn't false positives. They're just creating a black market and working against the terms of agreement. And yeah. 3 is, you know, not being able to cash out. I want to kind of go a little bit more on that. How do you think Viva's going to do it? Are they going to do... So you buy in 1-to-1, right? Yeah. For $1 is 1 gem. But when you cash... Once they implement the cash out program, you think it's going to be a 1-to-1, or are they going to take a little bit off the top, you know, 5% or 10%,
yes,
for you to cash out?
So that's interesting. So whenever you buy gems, you're paying taxes through the Apple App Store. So Apple has to take their cut, obviously, and I'm sure Android takes their cut as well. Whenever we cash out at Vivi, I'm 100% sure that, like, I'm just my opinion that Vivi is going to take their cut.
I agree.
I'm just going to say, like, maybe 10%. What the cut is from them.
What do you think, Ro?
I don't know, because there's 2 aspects to it, right? Like, what should Vivi do to continue to dominate and continue to bring people and continue to grow? They shouldn't tax. It should be a 1-to-1. You guys are already making your tax off of everything that's been traded in the market.
Right.
Right. You guys, we pay a fee whenever we sell stuff.
Correct.
There's buyers, there's flippers in the market every day that are making money for themselves. And they're making money for Vivi at the same time.
Yeah. And the IPs themselves are getting a cut of it.
No, I highly agree. I feel like if they implement a tax for you to cash out, I think the masses will be disappointed.
Disappointed.
And I think a lot of those individuals might leave a different platform. So I definitely agree that it should be a 1-to-1. You bought in 1-to-1.
Yeah.
I should be able to cash out 1-to-1.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be how it is. Now, this is the other side, though, because I'm like a person that's in the middle for mostly everything. The other viewpoint is you get taxed whenever you're transacting in ETH.
Right, yeah.
Because you got to pay gas to post.
In what platform? Like OpenSea?
OpenSea. Yeah. And then also whenever you're transferring your ETH from your MetaMask back to your exchange, you get taxed a little there.
Right.
And then whenever you sell it, you don't sell at the full price it's worth. You sell a little bit less because the exchange taxes you a little bit as well.
I see. So what are you trying to say? It's an inevitable regardless of what platform, and we should just kind of accept the idea that we will get taxed?
Yeah, like I think we will get taxed because it's part of the game.
Yeah.
If you want to play in this premier, in this top level type of game that's happening,
right,
you're going to get taxed. You got to pay.
Right.
You got to pay to play.
This is Daniel Toledo, a.k.a. ThunderMonkey.eth. Follow me on Twitter.
This is Alexis Morales, a.k.a. Havoc.
And this is Raul Garcia, a.k.a. Ragnar4. This concludes the episode of Crypto Junkies this Sunday. We'll see you next time.
Boom.
Peace.
Crypto, which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.